Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for joining us. It's What's the Odds with Steve Renazzisi, Brenton Lucas, myself. It's November 9th, 2022. Democracy is apparently still alive and kicking. She's still our bitch. We voted for democracy. Kyrie Irving may never play basketball again. Or maybe he'll go over to Israel and play basketball. They have a great league out there. You know, you never know. You could take a full 180. You guys, I don't know how you must feel about your football team losing to the fucking Jets. Jeff Saturday has a job in the NFL. And Brenton fucked us again. So where shall we begin? I'm going to let you decide, Brenton, because I've got to close this window on my computer.
Well, we could talk about the Packers-Lions game that screwed our parlay up.
Why do you think it screwed our parlay up? Do you think it was... Do you remember me saying specifically, like, we're going to lose because of you?
Yeah, but you didn't say because of that game.
Well, what was your game?
Did you think the Lions were going to win that game?
I thought about it.
Honestly, it's easy to nod your head now, Lucas, and say, yes, I thought the Lions were going to. Nobody thought the Lions were going to win that game.
I didn't think that the Packers lost six in a row, five in a row. They lost to the Jets. They lost to the fucking Giants.
You keep saying that. I think we have to put a tiny bit of respect on the Jets' name. They're winning games, dude.
God.
They're 6-3.
Why? Why? Because they beat you guys this week? We can get to that later.
They're 6-3.
They're 6-3. They're 6-3.
Just like the Giants are going to be. They're going to be.
Hold on. Time out. Do you have a fucking Christmas tree behind you? Yeah, I just notice a Christmas tree?
You just notice that?
Why? No. Why do you have a Christmas tree? It's the first week of November.
We got a Christmas tree and we wanted to put it up. We're excited. We're married. It's our first year of marriage. We have a Christmas tree.
You were married this time last year at Christmas?
It's first-ish year. We haven't had a Christmas tree before. We got a fucking Christmas tree. We wanted to put it up, make sure all the lights work. What do you want from
Is that a real Christmas tree or a fake one?
No, we got a fake tree.
Because I'm like, if you got a real one already, it's going to be done by Thanksgiving.
No, you know Rogue is going to get into it, and she's probably allergic if it was a real tree, and she'd eat half of it, and then that'd be a whole thing. No, it's a nice tree.
You don't have to light
it
up, though, dude.
I want it to look festive. It's just fun. Why can't I have fun?
You can have fun, but like
having a good time. This is the appropriate time. This is a fun podcast. People listen to this because it's fun.
You know what? You're so fucking happy because you said you made money for you and your family on Thursday night betting the game that you cared about. But then you fucked us.
No one thought we're trying to put bread on Lucas's plate. Was going to lose that game. And by the way,
we thought about it. Me and Lucas did.
Lazard scored a second touchdown. He was in by 2 yards, and LaFleur didn't challenge it. And then what happens 3 plays later? Rodgers throws a red zone interception. They had the points. It should have been 7-0 Green Bay, and the whole game changes because of that. They're fucking idiots.
Terrible.
Rodgers looks terrible, but he's throwing to no one. He's throwing to this guy, what's his, Durvey? He's got the backup of the backups on the practice squad to throw to. Watkins is dropping everything. It's partly his fault, but also partly like every other route, the receiver's doing the wrong read and running it incorrectly. But Rodgers is just, he's not containing his emotions. So he's probably turning the locker room against him. Like, I don't know if you saw, he screamed at Dylan to get off the field and Dylan just walked off the field like a sad puppy. Like, he's losing it. He's not a leader. He doesn't have players around him. And you look at the situation with Davante Adams in Vegas. He could have gotten the exact same amount of money to stay in Green Bay. I think if he does, Green Bay is a winning football team. And instead, he goes to Vegas. They suck. Green Bay sucks. It's just a shitty situation that I think if the two general managers had that back, like Green Bay's probably keeping Devontae and the Raiders are going to want to keep those picks because it's not panning out for anybody. But we got fucked.
I said that.
We got fucked.
We got fucked.
It was a bad – he was in the end zone. It was a bad coaching decision. We got fucked, dude.
Look.
Three red zone interceptions. That's insane.
That's terrible.
And they only lost by six. I mean, think about all the points that the Lions have been putting up on teams, even in games they're losing. Green Bay's defense held them to 15 points on the road. So the defense,
yet despite everything you just said, you still put your money on Green Bay. It makes no sense.
If we go back and we watch every pick I've made this year, you've been adamant, like, that's a horrible pick. And you've been right most of the time. That's terrible. You shouldn't do that. You're an idiot. You didn't say shit about this week's. You just put the disclaimer in. I understand. You just put the disclaimer in, like, Brent's going to be the one that fucks us. But you did not
say you were.
The Lions are going to win this game. You did not say that. You've said that for every other game. But you did not say the Detroit Lions will win this football game.
I mean, look, Brent, Lucas barely made his pick was a lot. I mean, that was like McVay unreal. Just being I did not see that happening.
Too. That I did that not game see was that a happening. Joke.
That was terrible.
I saw it coming.
No, I mean, I didn't see Tom Brady like getting that, like, you know, like move. I didn't see it happening.
Handed to him on a fucking platter.
Yeah, look, terrible defense on like three straight throws, and I'm like, what's going on here? They just handed him the game. But yeah, again, the only one that was really confident was the Seahawks. And I told you they were going to do that. And I told you they're going to go in there and there's no home field advantage. And they walked all over him.
Yeah. They're playing really good football.
Is he MVP?
Geno Smith. They're talking.
Geno Smith's not MVP. No, he's not MVP.
Aww. He's top four candidates right now. Is what people are saying. Top four.
I would say Walker is MVP before Geno's MVP.
Dude, Walker's not throwing the ball. He's running it, but he's not throwing it.
But he's an essential part of that offense. I think that offense is working because of him. Geno's playing great.
Yeah, no, it helps. It absolutely helps.
Not denying that, but it's a lot of pieces there too.
Like, he's not turning it over.
Philadelphia, you can go, it's Jalen Hurts. Buffalo, you can go, it's Josh Allen. Seattle, you can say Geno, but – it's not just that's a whole team playing good.
Tell me about it, boys. What happened this weekend? What happened? All I kept thinking of was hanging around like Malkovich from Rounders. Like, you just let them hang around the Jets. And then I was like, oh, fuck, they're going to come and tie this game up. And then they went on. I mean, all right. What do you think happened? I want to hear what you guys thought happened, because I'm nervous now for a couple reasons for the Bills. But go ahead. You go first.
Go ahead, Lucas.
I got nothing. I'm just worried about Allen's elbow for this week.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so I have thoughts about that game. Allen has played bad football for 6 quarters now. He looked really sluggish in the second half of Green Bay, and then he was just making horrible reads for most of that Jets game. The injury is concerning because it's the same one he had in 2018 and he missed 4 games. So we may see a Case Keenum revenge game against the Vikings. Pair that with Diggs. That should be fun. But Allen played terribly and he admitted it in the press conference after. It's like, it's hard to win a football game when your quarterback plays like shit. And the defense played great, all things considered. They were missing Poyer and they were missing Milano. I think that Milano injury, missing him, really showed. And the Jets were able to move the ball kind of. Still not great. Zach Wilson's still whatever. But as a fan, watching Sauce Gardner basically to the letter commit pass interference on that last play was very frustrating, but that's not why they lost the game. They lost that game because Allen just did not play well. And the Jets are a good football team. I think we have to recognize, we have to throw out our bias of who we think are good teams, who we think are bad teams, because we thought the Rams, the Bucks, the Packers, the Jets, you know, we thought these teams were something. The Raiders, we thought they were something that they're clearly not. The Broncos, dude, I thought the Broncos were going to be a Super Bowl contender.
Yeah.
So now that we're halfway through the season.
A lot of fantasy eggs in the Broncos basket.
I think we need to recognize that the Jets are still not a great team because Zach Wilson is a whatever quarterback. He hasn't made that step up, but they have a very good defense and they can move the ball on you if they run it well and they're solid. They'll hang around.
You got to be shitting your pants though about Josh Allen. You got to be shitting in your pants, dude.
It's week 9. As long as he's back after a couple of weeks, I think we can ride out the storm. Case Keenum will come in, he'll game manage. Maybe we'll actually see them run the fucking ball. We beefed up the line and got the running backs. Let's run the damn ball and see what that looks like. And I think they can escape, you know, if they lose one out of the next three games, they're going to be fine and they'll still take the division.
Yeah, they play the Browns and Lions next.
Yeah, so, I mean, the Vikings are 7-1, but they've also played four backup quarterbacks in those seven wins. So, you know, their defense isn't that great. They have a very good offense. If our defense can get healthy and we can run the ball against them, I think Buffalo at home is, you know, they're still 5.5-point favorites. Even without Josh Allen, they can win that game.
If you guys snuck a win out last week against the Jets, would you sit Josh Allen this week in the next 2 weeks and let that
not rest? if he was healthy enough to go. I don't think Josh would want to sit out, and I don't think they would.
Yeah, but they're still trying to lock healthy up enough.
The one seed.
There's healthy enough, and then there's like, I mean, some of the throws he made on that last drive were really bad. Like really, like
yeah, he's hurt.
One out in the flat, like yeah, like usually when he guns it in there, they're coming in low. They're coming in like sinkers almost. You know, a pitcher, they're starting at the knees and they're diving towards the ankles, and those are tough balls to catch. So, would you rather sit him for a couple weeks? You know, like you said, maybe this week you take an L. And then you get the Browns and the who else after that?
I still don't think
the Lions. So you go, all right.
I think we can Case Keenum can beat the Vikings.
So then why don't you sit him then and let him sit?
I think he's going
rest
to
rest for 3 weeks and then go, you know what? Hey, it's Case Keenum's team till Thanksgiving. And then this, you know, after that we'll go from there.
Well, they're not gonna come out and say that. He's gonna be day to day. I just don't think he's playing this week.
Yeah.
I think he'll come back for Cleveland. So the line's going to shift. So I actually think we should avoid betting on that game unless you want to take the Vikings, because as soon as they say Allen's out on Friday, that line is going to drastically move. So if you're listening to this and you're a believer in the Vikings, take them right now, because you're going to get 5.5 points, and it's probably going to be a pick 'em by the time, or they might even be favored by the time the game starts.
Now, Tre'Davious White and Matt Milano are both coming back, though, which is good.
Yeah, that's why I think we can win that game. Our defense is going to be stout, and we need to run the ball, which the Vikings are not that great against.
Yeah, he just didn't look good. He didn't look like – and I think the number one thing was the Jet. Like, the, you know, that game was supposed to – what was the spread?
It was 11.
I thought 11, yeah.
I thought it opened at 13.5.
Okay. So – It was never supposed to be as close as it was, and because it stayed that close, it did the more and more pressure. And I really believe that his arm, you know, is a factor. And the fact that he missed four games a couple years ago with the same injury would worry the fuck out of me.
Yeah, but the bigger concern on other than the injury is obviously the biggest concern. But the next biggest concern, it's not even that those throws look bad after he was hurt. That happened in the fourth quarter. The first three quarters, he wasn't reading the defense well. So the Jets had a great game plan, and they had him confused, and he made a couple of really bad reads, which he hasn't done in
the pick in the red zone was terrible.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't even know what he was thinking. The whole world saw that linebacker undercut the,
but you know, I'm in all these Bills Mafia groups on Facebook and Twitter and everything, and people are starting to panic. And I think it's still like, dude, it's week 9. We're still in first place. This sucks. There's a little bit of a bump, but it's happening now instead of, you know, week 17. If Josh got hurt week 17 against the Jets, then it's like, okay, we need to panic. This sucks. But I think they'll be fine. They're still, without Josh, they're definitely not the same team, but they're still a very good football team at every position, other than maybe running back.
The two teams you've lost to, the Jets and the Dolphins, which team do you think are more formidable going, like, again, like, who's the harder team?
It's tough because
which do you fear more?
The Dolphins have such a good offense, but their defense is atrocious. And then the Jets, they have a very solid defense, but their offense is really scary at times, especially without Breece Hall. If the Jets still had Breece Hall and they're 6-3, and that just happened to us, then I'd be like, I'm a little scared of the Jets. With the Dolphins, I think once Josh gets healthy and our defense is healthy, you're going to see a very different game in Buffalo. And I still think the Bills win the division. They just may be splitting with all three teams who are now playing great football. We didn't think any of them were going to be that good. And all three of them are really solid. Like the Patriots just had another huge win. So it's the most competitive division in football right now. I would probably lean the Dolphins just because Breece Hall is out for the season.
Yeah. And it's still the Jets. They'll find
you got it. You got to get that out of your head. You can't have that stigma. They're playing great football.
Okay. You know,
I get it. All right. But I think the only team you could really say that about is that the Browns suddenly went on a 7-game winning streak. We can still say, yeah, but it's the Browns. You can't really do that with the Jets. They're not
speaking
that far
of
removed from being.
What
like,
about the Titans? 7-game win streak.
Well, the Titans lost.
Yeah.
Oh. They had a 7-game win streak, didn't
they? Did.
That
well, no. They're 5-3. Are they 5-3 now?
Sounds right.
I think they're 5-3, but they did go on.
Why
a
did I think the
they
Titans had a,
they had a
five game?
They had a 5-game winning streak. They started
like after they lost
two.
To the yeah.
But that was a fun game Monday night. Kelce definitely got away with whatever he wanted on that 2-point try that the Chiefs, I think. What, they had three attempts at it because of penalties? And the one, like, Kelce just rips the guy's helmet off and they call the guy for pass interference?
Yeah, what the fuck was that?
But still an entertaining game. The Titans are going to find a way to win, but my God, Malik Willis. Not one completed pass to a receiver in that entire game. And he had, like, 60 total yards. So hopefully Tannehill comes back this week and they get healthy. Something just happened with Lucas.
How ugly was that fucking Rams Buccaneers game? Oh my God.
Yeah, that was nice of the NFL to flex that as the only afternoon game.
Yeah,
that you could watch
tomorrow on. Night. I mean, tomorrow night's game is going to be terrible too, or whatever night
well,
you're listening to. Thursday night. Game.
Yeah, Thursday night is Carolina sucks. And Atlanta. But that last Carolina Atlanta game, that was the one where it was the Hail Mary to DJ Moore last second, and then they went to overtime and went back and forth like four possessions in overtime. So there were a lot of points put up. It could be entertaining. It's going to be entertaining, but it'll be bad football.
But Carolina is like, you know, they're like, they don't give a fuck if they win or lose. So I guess that could be fun to watch.
Well, speaking of, I think the team that has shown that they want to lose is the Colts. They've just completely given up.
Jeff Saturday went from smashing pancakes in the morning on ESPN to the head coach of a football team. I mean, what? Granted, one that he played for his entire career, loyal, beloved, but like still, like what? Is the whole coaching staff gone? Like, I got home on Sunday. And then Sunday night, went to sleep, woke up. I was sick Monday, Tuesday. I'm still so like, you could hear my voice a little bit. So Monday was like all NyQuil'd out and stuff. Tuesday, wake up. Jeff Saturday is the head coach of the I didn't even know they fired Frank Reich, which I saw coming, but I didn't know.
Yeah.
And the next thing I know, Jeff Saturday has the fucking job. Did they fire the whole staff?
They had been firing position coaches, and they fired the play caller.
Okay.
In the previous week. But yeah, Frank management gave up on Frank a week before they fired him, like knowing that Jonathan Taylor was hurt and that they didn't have a running back and still dealing Nyheim Hines. That was very telling, that they were just going to go and get draft picks and they were going to tank the season and try to get a quarterback because clearly Ellinger, he's not the guy. And it all ended for Frank Reich when they benched Matt Ryan, like, you bring in this guy, you're paying him $27 million, and now you're just sitting him to start this rookie who can't complete a pass and can't set his feet and just looks overwhelmed every play. Then you move Hines, you have no running back, and bringing in a guy who has, I think he's the first in the history of this league to have zero experience coaching at the college or NFL level to finish out the rest of the season. You're telling everyone else, we're tanking without saying we're tanking. Like, you're clearly tanking, and you're going to be able to say, well, we lost all these games because of Jeff Saturday. Oh, well, but
I know, but it feels weird because it's like Jeff Saturday's got like a good career, you know, working for like, you know, he's a talking head.
Yeah. And he can go back to that.
I guess, but it's like, you're going to ask me to come tank out for what is it, 6-7 games left to go back to that? Like, how is anyone ever going to take me seriously if I ever decide to actually become a coach?
Yeah, but at the same time, like, Steve, if you got a call right now, Jim Irsay, hey, it's Jim, Steve, I want you to come coach. I know you have no experience. You would do it. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, but my goal is not to become a head coach at the NFL.
But how do you know? How do you know Jeff didn't want to be a coach? Maybe that was like a wild hair up his ass thing, and he was thinking maybe I'll do this broadcasting thing for a few years, and then
what I'm saying is, if he does want to coach, this is not the best way to go about it.
No,
I mean, who's going to take you seriously if you have like, you know, if he, like, okay, so whatever, he goes, you know, wins a game or two, but you, I mean, who on the staff, like the whole whoever's left, has to look at this and go, at least, you know, I'm sure they're happy they still have a job, but now they're answering to a guy who is only there because, you know, what the elephant in the room we don't talk about is we want to lose. But if we didn't want to lose, like, why wouldn't you, like, if you didn't care about winning or losing, why don't you have someone internally who's like, you know what, dude, this guy's never done, like Reggie Wayne. Mm-hmm. Like Reggie Wayne is on the staff already. He's never coached before, but at least he's coached. He's on the staff. He's also like a beloved fucking Colt. It would have made more sense to me than getting a guy
off the street.
Off the street, essentially.
Literally off the street.
Not out of the game, but off the street. You know, it's like that. It didn't make any sense.
Well, the whole organization.
Unless like it is to genuinely just, you know, like, just tank, like literally, like without like making it obvious, even though this is as pretty obvious as you can make it. But, you know, tanking is like, for what? Who are you going to get? Like, who's the guaranteed guy next year? There's never a fucking guaranteed guy.
No, and they've been chasing, you know, since Andrew Luck.
There's no Andrew Luck coming out next year.
It's a good class, but I don't think anyone's going to be the next Andrew Luck. But it's crazy how bad that – I really wish that the Hard Knocks in season was there right now. Imagine how great that would be for TV.
Although I do think the – does it start tonight, by the way?
Or it starts tonight. Yeah, we're doing this Wednesday. It's starting tonight. But just to capture Jeff Saturday walking into that room for the first time and be like, hey, guys, so I've never done this before. What do you want to do?
I'm sure Jeff Saturday has been shitting all over the team publicly on ESPN for the last like 8 weeks. You know, so now it's like, well, you guys know what I think is wrong with you.
HBO, can we just drop everything and head to Indy? Like, just,
I mean, yeah.
Fuck Kyler Murray and his video games. I'm sure that's going to be fun, but my God,
who do you think is more off the rails right now? Or like, Jim Irsay, like trying not to reach for the bottle of pills, like waiting to fire people or figuring out, or Donald Trump last night at Mar-a-Lago when all the candidates he was backing coming in as like as losing. Like, who do you think was more unhinged?
Ooh. I still got to lean Irsay.
Irsay can be a nut.
I would say Trump. I mean, when Dr. Oz lost, I think Trump lost.
Yeah, but he can spin it and say that everything was stolen and here's a link to donate to stop everyone from destroying this country. And he's, you know, Trump's going to make money. Irsay's losing money.
Irsay is
Colts losing, tanking. He's losing a lot of money.
Because they have a real, real good fan base there. But they expect a quality product.
They also have right now, an incredible team. That lineup on paper, that is a Super Bowl team that was just missing a quarterback.
What happened to the offensive line, though? I know it wasn't Glonowski. Yeah. I know the Giants got Glonowski. Maybe somebody else left, but you still have fucking Quentin Nelson.
Yeah.
Like, it's how do you not make that work?
Just really bad coaching. Really bad coaching, really bad play calling. Game planning.
Jeff Saturday comes in and fixes it all up.
That's the hope. And hopefully Jonathan Taylor gets healthy and actually shows signs of Jonathan Taylor.
Should we talk about the election for a minute?
Yeah,
that's why people tune in. They want to hear our thoughts on politics.
You never know, Brandon.
We're all well read.
Brandon, you always voted. You vote, right?
Did you vote?
I voted yes.
Yeah.
Me too. Lucas, did you vote?
I voted.
I voted at fucking in person for the first time. It's been like, you know, 4 years. The last time it was, but it's not as good. It's not good. They gave me this big sheet of paper and, you know, like, yeah. And then like a little condom to put around it.
Yeah.
But then you sit in like these, you're standing in these booths. I could see the guy right next to me when he's filling out. Everybody around here is fucking Lee Zeldin. They all, you know, it's all Republican where I am right now. So, and, you know, I'm filling out my thing and then it's just jamming into a number, little number thing. You don't get a sticker. You don't get a receipt. It felt very sketchy. That being said, you know, I'm just happy. Like, it's all going to come down again to fucking Georgia in a month. We're going to have to wait to see if JB Smoove can beat fucking Herschel Walker. Did you hear what he said last night? He what? Called himself Ricky Bobby. I'm not kidding. He quoted Ricky Bobby. He goes, "I'm like Ricky Bobby.
I don't come to lose.
Ricky Bobby never said that. Ricky Bobby was, if you ain't first, you're last. He just,
that's not what he
making up quotes. Dude,
this is a man who deserves to be in the Senate.
Ricky Bobby's never said that.
How? I mean, this is the power, though, of Donald Trump.
I want to go fast.
I cannot wait till he fucking announces on Tuesday. By the way, the next time we do this podcast, Donald Trump will be running for president of the United States, even though they're begging him not to, because now there's going to be a runoff in Georgia. And they're like, just wait till after the Georgia. And he's like, no, dude, I already said Tuesday. I know, Rogue. I know. He's like, I said Tuesday and that's it. I'm going on Tuesday and I'm saying what I'm saying. And so Herschel Walker is his boy. He put Herschel Walker up there. And Dr. Oz. Now, Dr. Oz lost, and that set him fucking crazy. And as soon as Oprah came out against Dr. Oz, I knew. I was like, oh, shit. Oprah's like, she doesn't have that much power anymore, but she still, the lady that made that guy fucking undercut him. I was like, oh, shit. This is some fucking Game of Thrones stuff right now. So he lost. If Trump comes out and says, I'm running, and then Herschel Walker loses in a month, that's not good. And I can't wait to see DeSantis and Trump go at each other. That's to me, it's like when you have two great conference teams. Mm-hmm. You know, like when you used to have like the Utah Jazz or like, you know, you had like the fucking, the Bulls and the Pistons and the
Michigan,
fucking, you
know, Ohio State when they're both ranked one and two.
Yes. Only one will make it to the finals or to the playoffs. But, you know, this is what it has to be. Chiefs and Bills. I'll even put you guys in the same category. So DeSantis Trump is going to be fucking lit.
I cannot wait. I think DeSantis Trump will be better than Chiefs and Bills.
Dude, the fact that Trump is announcing from Mar-a-Lago. I don't even know how to say it. Lago, whatever it is. The fact that he's announcing from there is like, because he announced the first time from New York. He's like, I'm a New Yorker. This is where I live. Now he's like, fuck you, DeSantis. I'm announcing in your backyard.
Well, did you hear what he said last week, too? He said if DeSantis does run, it'd be a very bad idea.
Very bad idea, because I know a lot about him, which is already, I'm like, but it doesn't matter. He's going to say a lot about him. And that's all that matters.
But all he has right now, his derogatory nickname for DeSantis is DeSanctimonious, which is so bad.
It's bad.
It's a terrible, Trump's off his game.
It sounds it like is. Donald Trump.
He already has a nickname for him, which makes me believe, but he has to figure out a new one. And if DeSantis is smart, he'd be like, oh, he came up with a new nickname for me. He's losing his edge, blah, blah, blah. You know, he's got little Marco, who's the other fucking Florida Republican cock down there, who you know, he'll suck anyone's cock to get on any ticket. So, I mean, Rubio jerks off at night just to see the vice presidential Rubio. So, like, that's all he wants. And so he's, you know, he's like a little fucking cock waiting for all the little things to fall off the tree, the DeSantis fucking Trump battle. But it is going to be fun to watch. That is that almost to me will be the one that'll be better than whatever happens in the presidential. And it's almost like if God forbid they beat each other up, but then realize like we'll go on the ticket together. I'll go one, you go two, which I can't see DeSantis actually saying that yet. But like if Trump starts to beat him, you realize this guy's not going to live forever. If I'm his vice president after 4 years, which by the way, Jonah asked me a question today and I was like, of course you can't. If Trump was to run again, right, in 2024 and win, could he only be president for 4 years because he was already president for 4 years?
Yes. Yes.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah, by the letter of the law, but I mean.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. No. I'm saying as of today.
Territory.
Yeah, like, oh, yeah, I fully expect him to make himself king within that 4 years.
I mean, he's going to figure out a way to stay there. And then get his son in and his daughter in and. Like,
oh yeah, no.
There's a dynasty coming.
Yes. No, I trust me. I know that's coming, but what I'm saying is like by the letter of the law today, he would have to only be because that would be enticing
but
to
also,
DeSantis because you're like,
that,
all right, well then
when
I
that
know
law
I'm
was
there for
written
years.
Though, it, I think, you know, we're not lawyers, but I think if you look at it, it depends on how it's written because if it's like consecutively, then he technically could.
Well, that's why I'm asking.
So I don't know. It just depends on how it's written specifically and what kind of lawyer you have that can do the, you know, kind of finagling of the words to make it fit so he technically could run for two more terms.
I mean, that law is like in the Constitution.
Yeah, but they break down the way the sentences are written in the Constitution all the time to have it fit whatever side.
Like, if we know anything, it's that he's got the best lawyers.
Yeah, so I think he could serve two more terms. Depending on how it's written, he could serve two terms.
Well, let's just see. I mean, we'll have to throw it to the Supreme Court. Oh, Jesus Christ, he's only put three of them up there, a third of them. You know, so two more have to kick during his next tenure. He puts those two in, and the next thing you know, he's King Trump.
Well, DeSantis can't run for governor again. There's term limits, so if he... If he doesn't run for president now, what else is he going to do?
Yeah.
Well, DeSantis can run. We'd have like a full, like, I don't know, what are there, 4 years or whatever? Like, so he would be cutting it short. What I want to know is DeSantis runs in 2 years, right? And he loses. Does he go right back to being fucking governor of Florida or does he have to give that job up?
No, I believe he'd still be governor.
Because he wouldn't be up for election.
Yeah.
All right, that's enticing. Jesus
Christ. Rogue's eating something. Hang on.
Why does he have his Christmas tree up? Is that odd to you?
It's very odd. I want to ask about the decorations because it looks like it just has lights.
That's all. But that's the thing. He's not going to put the decorations up till it's time. But it's like now we're going to have to stare at his fucking tree, Lucas, for the next 1, 2, 6, 7 podcasts.
Yeah. How long do you think it stays up after Christmas? Probably till January. Oh shit, he's back.
Hey, we got a problem with the tree.
What happened?
We were talking about the tree. You got to take. You can't because it's going to be in the next 7 podcasts, dude. It's 7 fucking weeks till Christmas.
I mean, I can change the lighting every episode. And have
what?
So now we can do that. Now it's like in and out, or if you want.
Oh, dude, we could have epileptics.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. It has color.
Now it's a party.
Wow.
Now it is a party.
All right. Well, congratulations, Bren. Nice and done. You found a fucking great tree, and now we all have to suffer for it. What else? I mean, who won the mayor of L.A.? Caruso?
Is it settled yet? I know Caruso had a lead.
Mayor of LA. Yeah, I don't think we have one yet.
Super bummed. I voted in Burbank. So we were at one point, because we weren't thinking, we're like, where do we vote? Where's Caruso on here? And we don't, because we're in Burbank and it doesn't affect us.
He holds a slim lead over Bass.
Yeah. But I was disappointed in California not passing Prop 27. So I still can't.
What's that?
It was to allow sports gambling.
Oh, yeah. What happened?
And we dropped the ball. Like, it failed miserably.
The Indian casinos.
Overwhelmingly, yeah. So
who's voting against this, by the way? I want to know like the demographic, because I figured everybody I know.
Older people, you scare them into thinking, well, more gambling means more gamblers and more addiction, and it's bad for everybody.
And crime.
Like, we're all doing it.
Yeah, that's what it is. It's always coming out like, anyway. They're going to gamble, they'll have no money, and then they're going to break into my house for my fucking gold. That's how it always goes down with these old fucks.
But what's so frustrating is, like, if this had passed, I could go on FanDuel, I could go on DraftKings, I could go on MGM, and I could actually shop lines and get better deals on player props and spreads. We are stuck with BetDSI because, and no disrespect to BetDSI, they're fine, but we're stuck with whatever lines they put out because they're offshore.
The only game in town.
So I can only go through them. And because of that, I get shitty lines on a lot of player props that otherwise I'd be killing it on DraftKings or FanDuel. And it sucks that it didn't pass. We also outlawed flavored tobacco. So no more flavored tobacco. That was positioned as kids are seeing people with flavored tobacco and that's getting them to try tobacco, but we're losing like
hundreds of millions.
It's like what they put in vape and stuff.
Oh, vapes. I was like, what?
Yeah, like if you want to get raspberry tobacco, that's now illegal. But that's, you know, nine figures of tax revenue that's just out the window.
I look. The gambling thing makes no goddamn sense to me. But I the vaping thing, I they always have dumb ones in California. Yeah. They're always stupid. They're always like these ones that you're like dialysis machines and stuff. You're like, why is this a problem?
I don't know if that passed or not, but that was this time with dialysis. It was they wanted to have a doctor in every clinic in the state of California. So that would have thinned out our hospitals and emergency rooms to have doctors to be in these clinics, to be a professional that can administer the dialysis treatment.
I don't know if I told you this story before, but one of my first jobs in Los Angeles when I got there was driving an old woman to the dialysis three times a week. I would drive her from her, pick her up at her house, take her to dialysis. They'd hook her up to the machine. I'd go somewhere for 3 hours, go back, pick her up and drive her home. They would have her, I'd go in there and I'd pick her up. I'd walk her out. I'd be driving her home. All of a sudden, spigots of blood would start flying in all of my car because like where they put her fucking things. She's an old woman. And she's like, oh, you know, some nurse today just taped me up. Like, you know, I'm not saying it wasn't professional, but like it wasn't done properly all the time. Now, I'm not saying you need a doctor in there to do it, but I do understand why you want a medical professional.
Yeah,
taping so these fucking people up.
Get a medical professional, get somebody that has training, but you don't need an actual doctor that should be at a hospital. You know, it's either I'm going to administer this dialysis treatment or I'm going to perform life-saving surgery. Exactly. So I don't know if that passed, but I hope it.
Oh my God, guys, let's talk about the Powerball for one motherfucking second.
Was that your place?
Was the gas station I went to over 5 billion times in my life.
Oh, God.
Woodbury and Fair Oaks and Altadena. I would drive Jonah and Jackson to soccer, basketball, football, baseball practice, stop there, get gas when I had the Prius, millions of Gatorades and water bottles and snacks. All bought there. Little known fact about that place, there was a shooting across the street like about a year and a half ago. So there's a liquor store across the street. I was a huge patron of that gas station. I know the guy. I saw him today on the news that sold a ticket. He got $1 million.
Getting $1 million.
I put feelers out to the community.
$950 million payout you could have gotten.
$950 million was the take
it
right now.
That was the
walk
away after taxes, yeah.
After the taxes?
After the tax. I mean, we're talking about a $2 million grand prize. But like 946, 947 and change.
I could have bought the Commanders with Jay-Z.
Yeah. You certainly would have you wouldn't have texted us, hey, do you guys want a podcast today, if you'd won $950 million.
I'm trying to think of what I would have bought first. I would have the Commanders or the Angels. They're both for sale. God damn. Do I want to own the Commanders, a football team, or do I want to own the Angels, a baseball team?
I would rather take the football team. The revenue is better. Baseball is on its way down, and you got a large a couple of contracts for the Angels.
But then I own Shohei Ohtani.
For now.
And what I do is I hook his blood up to Jonah's blood, and I transfer his blood into Jonah's blood. I give a full transfusion, Ohtani blood into Jonah's blood, and then it's just I make my own Ohtani. How about that?
It's not a bad idea. I would still lean football team, though.
Dude, 900. I thought you would have to pay taxes on the 900 million.
No.
How many Gatorades I bought in that fucking gas station?
Yeah, but how many lottery tickets did you buy there?
Probably every Powerball.
Really?
Look, I have a rule, the Powerball rule. Six figures or more. I don't fuck with the Powerball unless it gets to six figures or more. So 100 million plus. Right?
Well, see, that's nine figures. Six figures is 100,000.
Oh, nine figures.
This otherwise, you're a degenerate that's going there on a daily basis.
On 100 grand, yeah. Jeff Dennis told me, he goes, because he was the first one to alert me that the Powerball was, because I told you I was in that fucking, that haze.
Yeah.
That NyQuil haze. He goes, it was sold in Altadena. And then I saw the fucking, I was like, I can't even believe this. I can't even believe it. And he goes, guess what? I bought a Powerball ticket at 7:30. The cutoff is 7 o'clock. So he goes, I'm in the drawing to win $11. Like, what the fuck, dude? Yeah. I guess it goes after the $2 billion, it goes down to $11.
Yeah.
But correct me if I'm wrong. The Powerball, it's a lot like global warming. We're getting bigger and bigger. Like, it seems like every 5 or 6 months or a year, we're getting like, oh, it's back up to the record again.
Yeah. It's now the most ever. They changed the odds, they made it even harder to win. The odds were easier a few years back, and they've changed it so there's a winner less often to jack up the price and get people excited.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you have a 1 in 292 million chance to win, but you, Steve, had you still been out here and you were still going there on a regular basis and buying tickets, you would have had a 1 in maybe 5,000, 10,000 chance. Dude, I mean, what's the foot traffic of that gas station? What's the daily foot traffic, and how long was this cycle of the lottery, and how often were you going?
I'll tell you this about the gas station. It's one of the most expensive ones. So it wasn't that popular. People were going there. Like, it wasn't your first choice.
Yeah.
There's a mobile down the block. So look, I could have been a billionaire. I couldn't have bought the
Not quite. You would have been a millionaire. Multi-millionaire.
Do you see Jay-Z and Jeff Bezos had lunch together and they're going to buy the fucking Commanders?
Yeah. Anthony McConaughey too, allegedly.
All right.
Wait, why is he involved in this?
Just why not more star power?
It's way cooler with just Jeff Bezos and fucking and Jay-Z. Are they like, oh, what? McConaughey's on the, what the fuck?
That's what the Post was reporting yesterday.
How much does he want to put in?
Well, if Bezos buys the Commanders, do you think that means Elon's going to go and buy the Angels just to compete?
Dude, if Elon buys the Angels, he will definitely implement my blood-sucking system that I'm going to use to Shohei Ohtani's blood. He'll perfect that shit. He'd probably be like, I'll buy the Angels for $15 billion. And they're like, okay, sure, no problem. Then he fires everyone the next day. What's happening with Twitter? Are you guys still on it? Is it a shit show, or is everyone just shouting the N-word? What's going on?
It's a little mix of all that, yeah. It's been fun, though.
Yeah?
I think it's fine. We got to give him a chance to play it out. But the fact that he is publicly saying everyone has to pay $8, and then, like, Stephen King will go, this guy's a moron, and then Elon will literally be commenting under it, like, I'm not a moron. It's going to cost you $8. Yeah. Like, it's very entertaining. In a very bad way.
Or are you going to pay $8?
I was never verified to begin with, so I'm not paying $8. I don't give a shit about that.
I was verified. Do I have to pay $8 for something I've never been on?
Yeah, you would have to pay $8 if you're going to continue to have a Twitter, if you want to be verified.
Yeah. Bye-bye.
That's what a lot of people are saying. Like, I'm out. Bye-bye. But we'll see, because as many people are saying, I'm leaving.
Just to get all the ad mentions for the last 5 years that people have written to me. I just want to see how much visceral hatred I've received over the last 5 years I haven't been on.
Why would you
that would be like a parting gift. Yeah. Cause it'd be funny to me, but like as a parting gift on the way out the door, if they just gave you all the, like all your, you know, all the hatred, that'd be good. But yeah, from what I've heard, it's, is the site up like and running? Like, do you find technical glitches and stuff?
I haven't seen
apparently he fired everyone that works there.
Well, there was also
no one to run the fucking thing.
There was an awkward email that I guess went out to a large part of the staff saying, "Hey, just kidding. Can you come back?"
No way.
Yeah, there were
for real.
There were departments that they were asked to come back. Like, we're just never mind. You still have a job if you want it. But as far as I've seen, the site's been running normally. I haven't had any issues, and I'm on it every day, all day, doing my jobs. Mm-hmm. And the only thing that I've noticed is. There's a lot of brands that have been pulling out. So I have to imagine at some point he's going to go, fuck, we're losing so much money. Like the $8 thing is not going to be a solution because literally all the, like the 30 biggest companies that were invested into advertising on Twitter are out. And he just liquidated a shitload of Tesla stock to complete his purchase. So Tesla stock is plummeting and Twitter stock's probably going to be going down with all the lost revenue. So you're looking at two big companies that he could really be ruining and lose a lot of his money.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Elon Musk show on Twitter. Yeah. That's what you're going to have soon.
He needs to buy the Angels just to kind of leverage his income.
How long before he offers Joe Rogan $1 billion to move the Joe Rogan Experience over to just Twitter alone? Like it just... That's what he needs. He needs like a must view, like something that is popular enough that people are willing to pay $8. I don't think having a blue check mark and being able to use the N-word whenever you want is worth $8 a month. I just don't. I don't know what it, you know.
But if he lets Trump back on Twitter, that's where people are going to go, I'll pay the $8 just to watch this.
So you're saying Twitter will be a thing where like, you know, like even now, if I Google like, oh, so like Kyrie Irving wrote on like I'm not on Twitter, but I don't even have the app on my phone. But like I went to Google and I put in Kyrie Irving Twitter, and like his Twitter thing came up of like what he wrote about the, you know, Hebrews to Negroes, whatever it was. So I saw the tweet. Are you saying like if you don't pay $8 a month, you'll never be able to see anyone's
Twitter. It's not going to be, Twitter's not going to be a subscription thing to just be on it. Like you can just be on it and they need the active users because that's how they'll bring in advertisers and they'll make money based on the number of users that are actively on Twitter and seeing these ads. So if you want to be verified and you want to have the ability to post videos that are longer and whatever other benefits they bake into that subscription, you pay $8 and you'll be verified and get the check mark. But if you just want to be on Twitter, you can be on Twitter. At least that's how he's presented it right now. That could change if he's losing billions of dollars. Then maybe he charges everybody.
And how long before this $8 thing comes? Like, you know,
I don't know.
Here's what I don't want to happen. I don't want like I'm getting billed $8 a month for something I'm not using. And then in like 2 years from now, I'm going to get a collection agency that says I owe Elon Musk fucking 8 × 12 × 2. What's that? 167 bucks. So I don't, I don't want to get that. So I'm telling you right now, this is me saying officially.
You don't have a credit card tied to your account. They can't charge you. You don't have anything.
They will figure out a way, dude, in the metaverse. Doesn't he own PayPal too? I have a PayPal account.
But Metaverse.
He'll suck it right out of my PayPal account. He'll suck it right out. So yeah, they'll find a way, Brent. Trust me. They'll find a way. Well, also, before we get off, you know, congratulations to the Houston Astros and to Mattress Mack, speaking of gambling, for a $75 million win. And the Astros, you know, whatever. Congratulations on winning a World Series. You know, unfortunately, I just think it's like a thing where, you know, the no-hitter was like, oh, my God, who gives a fuck? You know, it's not that special.
Not when it's a collective no-hitter.
It's great that you did it. Count. Great.
It doesn't count. Great that you did it. It's not real. That's not a no-hitter. That's a bunch of guys coming in and not allowing hits, but it's not a no-hitter. It's got to be one dude.
That's baseball, dude.
The whole game.
That's baseball.
And Dusty Baker took that away from him when he pulled him. Let the guy fucking go until he gives up a hit.
It's never going to happen. You'll never see a no-hitter ever again in the postseason. You'll never see it. It's never going to happen. It's a numbers game. It'll never happen again. Not a singular player, I mean. So, hey, congratulations. You know, you got a great fucking baseball team, great pitching staff. Verlander will probably win the Cy Young. You know, they got a great farm system. Pena is a great shortstop, rookie of the year. He won't win rookie of the year, but he probably deserves to now. But I think he won MVP. Mm-hmm. So if you can keep your rookie of the year, Julio Rodriguez, I'll take MVP. And, you know, they're not going anywhere. They're the odds-on favorite to win the World Series again next year. So they're going to be around for a while. I'm happy for Dusty Baker, you know, 25 years in the game. He's a good guy. I knew as soon as he took that job, I was like, oh, fuck. It was either him or Buck Showalter, and I was like, both those guys will be good for that team. So, you know, I don't like the Astros, but they fucking won. You got to give them your props.
Yeah.
Congratulations. We'll go get them next year. But as for now, the Yankees are, you know, we don't even have a fucking GM. So who's negotiating with Aaron Judge? I don't know. He's going to win the fucking MVP next week. We'll see what happens then. All right, let's get to some picks, shall we? Oh, before that, you're in Zanies in Chicago this weekend, right, Brenton?
Yeah. Hey.
All right, Rogue. Easy. Take it easy. I was going to do the plug. Let me do it. All right.
Yeah. Friday and Saturday, Zanies with Ryan Sickler. I think there may be tickets left, but I have no idea.
I'm sure that they're you know, you got to get them now if you're going to get them, because Ryan's super popular, very funny, and Brenton's the cutest little
fucking. And I'm there too.
Yep. I'll be in Dallas. Well, the Addison Improv, just outside of Dallas this weekend. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, flying out there tomorrow.
I'll tell my brother.
Oh, he's in Dallas?
Yeah, he's in Dallas.
All right. Well, have a mosey on down to my shows at the fucking Lone Star State. The fucking Big D. Oh, by the way, Davenport was fucking fun.
Yeah, I saw a picture of you, dude, and Doug Thompson.
Doug Thompson.
Doug sent it to me. Yeah.
He's great. He loves Steve Simone. He said you were a fucking hoot as well. It was fun. Good shows. Nice people. The casino's in the middle of fucking nowhere, dude. It's like Children of the Corn fucking casino in the middle of nowhere. Great steakhouse up on the roof. They got a great view of like all the cornfields around. It's beautiful. So, but I did drive from LA. I drove from Chicago to Davenport. It's like 2.5 hours and then back early, which was fucking weird because my flight was at 6:30 in the morning in Chicago. So I wanted to be there at 5:30. So that means I had to leave at 3 from Davenport. So did the shows, was done by 11:30, went to sleep. But it was the time we had to turn the clock back, right?
Yeah.
Well, I Google, what time do we turn the clock back? 2 a.m. I go, great. So there's my phone, and then there's a room fucking, you know, the clock that's in the room. I'm going, I'm setting my alarm for 2:50, right? I know that my phone will adjust and then it will go off at the right time. 2:50, my alarm goes off. I look at my phone. I look at the clock. You know what the clock says? 2:50. So I go, what the fuck? So I call down because it should be an hour ahead. It should be 3:50. I call down to the front desk. Hi, do your clocks automatically turn back with the change of time? No. I go, so we haven't done the time turn back yet. Yes, we have. I said, but I'm looking at the clock. It says it's 2:50. And my phone says 2:50. Well, it must have done it then. So it did. It does turn back. Yes. I go, I'm done with this conversation. I can't. This is too early for me.
Can I just say?
I hung up and Steve, I drove to Chicago fully intending that I was going to get there 1.5 hours earlier than I wanted to be there because I was, but it was right. Like the fucking clock turned back automatically. So
as someone who's worked in customer service for a while.
Yeah.
If you're actually having these conversations with people, you are the most frustrating. Just call down and say, hey, what time is it? You don't need to talk about, like, do the clocks do this? Do they just ask them what time it is? It's a much simpler conversation. Hey, what time you got?
Because this person didn't sound she didn't sound pop like. Because
you're calling her at 3 a.m. and she's not like, oh God.
You're the front desk lady. You got to have all the answers.
I don't change the fucking clocks. What is this asshole? It's 3 a.m. What do you want?
Have the answers for the night of daylight savings.
This is my third job today. I got 6 kids at home. Give me a fucking break. You're an adult. Figure out what time it is.
Also, I just checked the time on my phone. My phone, whatever it tells me, the date, the time, I believe it. It could tell me it's the year 2050. If my phone says it, I believe it.
Yeah, it's the year 2050.
Because I didn't realize. It's always up to date.
But it baffled me that the hotel clock has said the same thing, too.
Uh-huh.
That's what baffled me. Lucas. It's like that check that I have for $10,000. It looked like a real check from the fucking lottery. But the closest I'll ever get to winning the real lottery is buying Gatorades at the Altadena.
Yeah, Mobile. You could have had $950 million, but...
Oh, let's get to some picks, because let me tell you something right now.
We'll start chipping away at that $950 on this week's picks.
Middlecombe, it's how to pick goddamn winners. 7-1 on the season.
You're 7-2. 7-2. We're 9 weeks in.
Oh, fuck you.
This is week 10. You're 7-2. Get it right.
All right. Well, I got a lot of thoughts. So, you want me to go first?
Go ahead. Mm-hmm. Just don't take my lock of the week.
Hold on. I'm pulling them up. Okay. Oh, my God. First of all, I'm not even going to take this one, but this is a gift to anyone that wants to fucking football this week. The Seattle Seahawks are absolutely beating the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
That was my lock.
If you want, that's my lock. Go ahead.
Here's a little sidebar.
That's Seattle, not even a game I'm picking.
But Seattle is flying out today. The Buccaneers aren't going until tomorrow, so you're going to have an advantage there because they're going to be acclimated sooner. And I don't know if you have been following the crypto world, but FTX, the platform that Tom Brady is the face of, is collapsing before our eyes and causing a massive downturn in the entire market. And he is set to lose millions and millions of dollars. So not only is he going through a divorce, but now the platform that he championed in all those ads and invested a lot of his money in is going to be worth $0. So he is playing on a pretty bad football team. Flying all the way to Germany. He's 45 years old. He's going through a very public divorce, and now he's going through a very public, business venture that is going belly up. There's no way that Seattle doesn't cover the 3 points, but they're going to win.
Is Malik Willis playing, or is it Ryan Tannehill this week?
We don't know yet. We won't know until Friday.
Motherfuck. Yeah. That's my other game. I think Tennessee wins if it's Ryan Tannehill for sure. They beat the Broncos by at least 2 points, so you could take the 2 points.
I don't think it actually matters. I mean, they ran the ball against KC. They can run the ball against Denver. But Denver's good against the pass. Denver is not good at stopping the run. So you still have the advantage there.
Give me Tennessee.
Broncos are just not a good football team.
What is with you today, microphone? But absolutely.
I both those fucking games for sure. And by the way, I know the Giants are going to win too. So, but there was it 4.5. What do you have there?
The Giants are now 5-point favorites.
Oh, I had 4.5, but maybe it's moved.
Well, I could probably shop a better line.
I got four and a half.
27 went down in flames. So here we are on BetDSI getting 5 points.
I got four and a half on DraftKings.
I can
but
buy.
Those are my three thoughts.
I
so
can buy a half point.
Feel free to work them around that if you like. Who wants to go next?
I'm looking at the Steelers over the Saints.
Ooh.
It's pretty aggressive.
I have it at 2.5.
I have it at 1.5.
1.5. 1.5.
Okay. All right, even better. Give me the Steelers.
What's your reasoning behind that?
Andy Dalton.
But we're 2 weeks removed from Andy Dalton throwing for 350 and four touchdowns.
I'm not worried about that. It's in Pittsburgh.
I like it, dude. I like your
Watt,
confidence.
TJ Watt may come back. Ooh, they're optimistic that he returns this week.
Don't call it a comeback. Watt is back for real. I'm telling you right now, TJ Watt comes back. They're going to be a rejuvenated defense. Mm-hmm. They're going to fucking lay the smackdown on, I was about to say Carson Wentz, on, what's his name?
Dalton, the red right.
Andy Dalton, the other red Dalton. So yeah, I think it's not a bad pick. Not a bad pick at all.
The Saints looked so bad last week. That was a hard Monday night game to watch.
What about you, Lucas? I mean, Brenton, what do you got?
Well, my lock was the Bucks losing, bet against Tom Brady. But if you want me to jump on a fourth game, I would probably say it's safe to pick the Raiders by a touchdown against the Colts.
Ooh, I like to stay away from that. And here's my thought. Here is, if there's any team that can walk into a situation that like, hey, nobody thinks we can do it anymore. We have a brand new coach. And all of a sudden they're like, oh, what's going on here? It's the Raiders. If anybody can fuck up a coach, an opposing coach who's never coached above high school level as their first game before, it's the Raiders. They've blown three games that they were up by 17 points.
And I don't know if that's happened before this early in a season.
Three. So I'm just saying, I don't know. I just have it's a little bit, but not picking on you, Brenton. I do think that the Raiders should win that game.
Look, I'm taking the Seahawks. I'm just saying.
Okay.
We're going to see how important a head coach is. A head coach is absolutely essential to the success of a team. I don't care how many guys you get going into a game with a chip on their shoulder going, no one believes in us. They're not going to win that game. It's just a matter of how badly the Raiders beat up on them. They're good players, but Mike, you don't have a head coach. You fired half your coaching staff. There's no game plan. You can't just walk into an NFL game and expect to do things. It's not backyard football. Doesn't matter how talented you are. The guys across from you are just as talented, but they have a plan and they know how to stop you and you have no plan.
Yeah. They have a new play caller this week who's never called plays in the NFL.
Yes. And they have a guy who's never managed a game, doesn't understand situational football.
Are they home?
No, they're in Vegas.
Oh.
Also, Steve, Josh McDaniels' revenge game. Possibility, right? Didn't he coach the Colts for a day?
No.
You remember this?
He was
the Browns, right?
He was going to go to the Colts, and then he backed out of the job. He said, never mind, no thank you.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Look, I mean, you want to take him, go for it. I have a feeling.
I already have the Seahawks. If you want to add a fourth game, I just think that is given. At least on the
like
money line.
Coaching change, something happens. Like people get excited.
Week. But that's when you go from a coach to another coach. We're literally going from a coach to some
to
guy.
Yeah. No, I get your point. So, all right. Well, what does that net us then?
Well, am I adding that fourth game?
Fuck it.
It's up to you. Do it.
I'm gonna do it. I mean, we could take him on the money line. If you don't want to get the 6 points, like the Raiders would have to cover 6 points.
No, take them on the money line. Just juice it up a little bit. Okay. A little au jus.
All right. So we have the Seahawks plus 3. We have the Steelers plus 1.5. We have the Titans minus 2.5. The Raiders on the money line, $50. It's going to get us $415.11.
Come on now, kids. Let's fucking bang, bang, bang. That's what I'm talking about.
I'll make up for an entire season of just losing.
No, we've done well, dude. We won 2 weeks so far.
That's true.
If it wasn't for you, we would have won 4 or 5. So yeah, just think about that.
Yeah.
When you put all your old fucking side bets together. Did I miss anything else? Do we want to talk about? Well, what's the odds Kyrie Irving ever plays an NBA basketball game again?
I think he plays again.
In the NBA?
Yeah, he'll play again. Someone will pick him up.
Maybe.
I wonder who.
Yeah. He's going to cost a lot of money, and he comes with a lot. He's not playing for the league minimum, dude. He probably would rather walk away. What does he have to prove? So...
He has to prove that the world is flat. That's what he has to prove.
Imagine they were like, look, dude, we want you to play for the Chinese team, but you know, you have to like walk there on the flat earth to get there. You can do it. You have to walk there. Someone's got to offer him a buttload of money to play.
Yeah.
And I don't know who's willing to do that because you don't have, you know, he comes with a lot of baggage. So I'm not sure exactly who's going to do that. I don't know how much I mean, he doesn't seem to be willing to make like a full blown apology. He hasn't done any of that yet. So it's what's the next thing you're gonna like? This guy is not he's not like, he's shown you who he is. Let's believe him.
He's gonna go play for Orlando. He's gonna play for a Florida team. He'll be in Orlando or Miami.
There's a lot of Jews in Miami, dude. Yeah. A lot of Jews in Miami. A lot of Jews in Florida. They all retire down there. Most of them are old Jews who knew about the Holocaust. So I'm just saying, there's a lot, you know. You think Disney? Don't they own the Magic? Easy, Rogue. I know you're Jewish. I'm sorry.
Do they? I don't know if Disney still owns the Magic. I don't think they do.
No, they don't. They don't.
Well, they're close to Epcot. And they're not going to have Kyrie Irving dribbling a basketball around where fucking Mickey Mouse is. Because Mickey Mouse loves Jews. Mm-hmm. So think about that, Brenton. I don't know if he ever plays in the NBA again. But apparently Trevor Bauer is pitching for Team USA in the World Baseball Classic next year. So who knows? Kyrie Irving could be on the USA basketball team in 2 years. Who knows, dude? Speaking of which, you know fucking the World Cup starting, and apparently we've got a pretty good team.
Yeah. Pretty pumped.
We got a pussy, Pulisic, mm-hmm. who's supposed to be really good. And we're playing Wales, November 21st. I don't know what the line is yet on that game, but I'm taking America. How about that?
Do either of you have Sirius XM Radio?
I do.
Have you heard the ad reads that Hope Solo is doing for her new show, all about the World Cup?
No, isn't she? Is she slurring her words? She's a drunk, right?
Yeah, it's pretty awkward. And Sirius has just kind of completely forgotten her past history. But there's
awesome.
It's a very uncomfortable read.
Great. Well, look, I mean, I'm glad they're doing it. And the holidays are perfect. Because I can just sit back drunk and watch these games that I don't really give a fuck about, you know?
Yeah.
It's awesome. All right. Well, that's the podcast for this week, ladies and gents. Thank you very much for listening and rating and subscribing, letting us know what you think. We're going to make you money this week. We absolutely are. And again, if we don't, you know whose fault it is. It's good old fucking Christmas Tree Lane. Brenton Biddlecombe. Already using the electricity that Los Angeles doesn't have for his fucking Christmas tree.
We're sitting on a surplus here in Burbank.
Of what? Power?
Yeah.
I don't think so, dude. That sounds pretty fucking fishy. Sitting on a surplus of power. What are you, fucking Gargamel? All right, that's it. I'm done. I'm spent. It's fucking 8:15 here. I'm done. I'll be in Dallas this weekend. Come get tickets. SteveRenizzisi.com or the Addison Improv. Brenton's at Zany's. Lucas is fucking where? LA.
I'll be in it's Comedy Store Friday, Long Beach Saturday, Improv Sunday.
Lucas is probably going to make more money than the rest of us on the road.
Yeah.
LA is the fucking place to be. All right. Love you guys. Talk to you next week.
Go Bills.
Go Bills.